How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
My goal for this episode, Rich, is to leave people thinking. This is a quote from Tar. Don't be so eager to be offended. The narcissism of small differences can lead to the most boring conformity.
If you want to know anything about that genre, you have to know Harry Potter.
Somebody is going, oh, this person did a bad thing. I'm going to, in protest, not listen to their stuff, not watch them. It's not really that much of a brave thing to do when it's The Rock. Or it's like, oh, you know what? I'm never going to watch another Rock film. You're not missing. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Two to Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
Today, we are talking about the timeless topic of separating the art from the artist. And we're using a recent example with Neil Gaiman, where some allegations came out, and we will update you all on that, let you know what the whole spiel is. And we're also going to bring up a bunch of examples. So J.K. Rowling, Kanye West, any historical figure,
Michael Jackson, Beethoven,
literally
name anybody, really.
I would even say separating the art versus the artist when we get to the conversation can go the opposite direction. Like, Keanu Reeves is such a good guy. I can't separate how awesome he is when I watch one of his films.
That's very true. There are some people out there just like, man, just such a cool person that I don't even care that they're subpar.
It elevates the art if you're just a good person. So what we're going to talk about this episode is we're going over the topic of what Rich and I think and some questions and trying to dive deep into can you, should you, and should you support artists if they've done something bad, said something bad. We're going to give all of our thoughts and hopefully keep this conversation for you all that want to join in the comments and say your thoughts on this and something that we didn't hit on. But I hope we do hit on most of it because my goal for this episode, Rich, is to leave people thinking with something of, hey, maybe they have a preconceived notion about what they think about this topic. Maybe they haven't thought about it enough. Hopefully we can bring something for them.
Oh, the ultimate goal is for them to think and then listen to us and then they can stop thinking after that.
Correct.
They just, you know, absorb the new updated information and opinion and then go off and prosper.
And let them know, hey, Rich and us, this is what they said.
That's now my new belief. Yeah.
I have to get two things out of the way. First is that we did an episode on separating the art versus the artist over a year ago. And this is a good way. So now that the podcast is a little bit bigger, more people will see this video.
Yeah.
Also updated thoughts on that. And now that we've had more time to think about it and more experiences to dwell on and just think about. So it's an updated version of that, where hopefully we could speak better or at least talk about it better than we did a year ago.
We'll try. We probably won't.
We'll do our best. But in that, do you remember the movie that inspired our conversation on that?
I do. It's a great movie.
What's the movie called? Come on, Rich. Pull that out of that brain of yours. Kamehameha, say it.
I don't know.
I liked the movie.
I'm not good with names.
So I love Clearly. The highest of high recommendations for people that are a bit pretentious in their movie love. It's called Tar. And it has Kate Blanchett. It's a phenomenal movie. And it goes over the entire theme of separating the art versus the artist, where Kate Blanchett is a lesbian composer who has done horrible things. And it explores in that film, can you separate the art versus the artist? So I love that film. And enough of me rambling at you, Rich, okay? Mm-hmm. Where do you want to start off with this conversation? Do you want to start off with why we're discussing Neil Gaiman, why we're talking about this video?
Yeah,
and we can go from there.
Let's get right off the top with Neil Gaiman. At the time of recording,
It was July 17th, 2024.
About two-three weeks before now, allegations came out about Neil Gaiman of two sexual assaults over a period of years. So the first woman was a nanny of Neil Gaiman, and she alleges that...
Well, nanny of his kids.
Nanny of his kids.
Not his nanny, yeah.
Yes, so, obviously. But, like, he would be a dog. If, like, you know, like, it's fine. Going to make a joke, but probably not appropriate.
Oh, definitely talking about this.
I was talking about...
Let's pause the humor for now, then we'll get back to humor later.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Anyway, she alleged that he sexually assaulted her in his bathroom on, like, the first day they met, and then after that had a rough consensual relationship with him in and out. Like, it wasn't always consensual, but sometimes was. And then there was a second one where he met a girl at 18, eventually started a relationship with her at age 20, had a relationship with her, but several times it was not consensual, really degrading behavior, all these stuff. And now allegations coming forward. It's also important to mention that the first allegation, she did, so it happened in 2022. And she
February 2022,
and I believe October,
yep.
Or was it November?
October.
October, she did post a, she did make a police report at that time. Second allegation, did not make a police report at the time, but anyway, that is the information we have. Personal opinion on this is ultimately, on my opinions of Neil Gaiman, it almost doesn't matter on whether the allegations are 100% true or not, and whether, like, whatever the actual case is, like, I can ultimately sum it up as, ew. Gross guy. Not good at all. The age gap, so starting off with, he has open relationship with his wife, already not starting off at the great place, then going into the huge age gap between him and
it's an important to note here that Neil Gaiman, so he's denying the allegations of sexual assault, but he is confirming that he did have consensual sex with, he was like 40 something when the one woman was 20, and then he was 60 something, maybe 65 when the other was also, it was 25. Yeah. So it's, he's not denying that he had sexual relations with,
yeah,
the,
so
with them, but he regardless, but there's a large age gap, regardless of the allegations, yeah.
And just ultimately surrounding all of this is just fairly degenerate behavior, even if the details of the facts lay out like, oh, actually, technically, if somehow comes out that Neil Gaiman was legally in the right, which, we'll see. Even if... Very degenerate behavior, very gross individual. My opinions of the man are not positive.
I don't think that's quite controversial right now. But
no, I'm not taking a controversial stance. Like, I'm just generally, like, gross.
Did you have any thoughts?
That's about it. There's thoughts. Like, you can read the reports yourself. In all honesty, there's not a ton of real, there's not a ton of evidence right now of, there's a couple articles, you can watch the podcast that breaks down the allegations themselves, but honestly, not much more than what we said.
Yeah, so the extent of it is that Neil Gaiman's denying it. These two women have come out, are saying there was sexual assault. They had these relationships that they had with Neil Gaiman. So Neil Gaiman has, we'll move on to the topic of separating art from others, but just to fill in why this inspired the talk, because it's going, the inspiration from it is our Patreons. We do with our book club. Bad time to plug the book
bad,
club.
Not bad
gonna
plug.
Not
time.
Gonna. Not gonna plug yet.
We're gonna plug later.
Let me be like conscious of what's going on here. But the reason I mentioned that is American Gods, Neil Gaiman's book, was selected for our book club a day before the allegations came out. So that's when we're going. Okay, day before allegations came out, our patrons selected American Gods that we're going to read and discuss in the book club. Okay, next day, Neil Gaiman sexual assault allegations come out. So now we have to come to terms with this opinion on separating the art versus the arts. We'll tell you by the end what the decision was and what all happened. Stay tuned. So with the allegations, the the allegations are that Neil Gaiman is saying that they were into BDSM and all these sexual acts, and he's saying it was consensual. They're saying it's not consensual. And I won't go into the details because there are things that can't be on YouTube here. So please go check that out for yourselves.
Or don't.
Or don't. Just
that is also a very valid, this is a valid thing to do. You can just not look at it and move on with your day.
Very true. Very true. So to go on from that conversation of Neil Gaiman, not a good guy.
Not the best.
No. And so that's going to happen a lot where you see these authors that, and personally, I've never read a Neil Gaiman book. This is my interactions with Neil Gaiman, not in person, online, have been, oh, he had a masterclass on writing. So I've seen some videos on him. I know on this channel, we've spoken of Neil Gaiman because when we were talking about piracy, he had some opinions on piracy that I thought were really interesting. And we used that when we were talking with Brian Lee Durfee, who was on the channel. Shout out to Brian. Great guy. And so, well, is anybody great? I don't know. Who's next? So when this comes out this was a less connection for me personally, because it's not like, oh, I was a big fan of this person. And then all of a sudden this news article comes out, whereas I could see completely different where
it's very different with something like Michael Jackson of he made Thriller and like his music is, he's the king. He's the king.
You grew up with him.
I love his music. And then all the child diddling, and it's like, okay. But I already had the emotional connection to his music before, and so it's a lot harder to separate.
You already had an opinion. I'm like, oh, I love this guy.
Yeah.
So let's start getting into the juice of this then, okay? The first question being, Rich, can you separate the art from the artist? Before we get should and before we get to all the details, do you think that you can separate the art from the artist? Just as that broad question, then we'll get into it.
Yeah. Ultimately, you can. It's but all of this is dependent on degrees.
Right. Should you do it?
Should you and how far? It's not a yes, no, light on, light off kind of deal. Yeah. Can you completely separate the art from the artist? No. I don't think it's like 100% you could separate it. But it's also not, the art and the artist are not 100% intertwined. There's a gradient scale between those two, and it depends on how far you go to either side.
Gotcha. Yeah, because on that scale, I was mentioning earlier how this could go both ways. Negatively impacts your opinion of the person, does the person negatively impact your opinion of the art, or does it positively? That Keanu Reeves example, if you see somebody on a movie, you're like, I love that guy.
Yeah.
So while you're escaping an art, while you're escaping into a book, a film, a painting, anything, I think you would have a better shot than can you separate the art versus the art than I would or than somebody else, because you can turn your brain off. You have the great ability.
That is true.
You look at that, you flip that switch. Every time you go turn on or off a light bulb in your house, just think that is how your brain works. It's how your brain works. And it's such a superpower. And it's great. So can you? Yes, definitely. I think for the broad question, can you separate the art versus the artist? Like that, I think 99% of the time, maybe if you know anything about them, like sure, maybe a thought would come up like, oh, you see him, you're watching The Martian with Matt Damon. You go like, oh, that's Matt Damon in the back of your head. Not that Matt Damon's done anything good or bad that you would think of him that way.
Well, no, your knowledge of Matt Damon could affect.
I mean, exactly.
It's a reason why actors are sometimes afraid to get typecasted in roles. Like, you know,
Leonard Nimoy. Typecast.
Well, Leonard Nimoy couldn't get. He's the guy who played Spock in Star Trek, the original trilogy.
Got it. Okay.
Or not the original series.
Yep.
And he struggled very hard to try and find work after Spock.
Yeah.
Because everyone saw him as Spock. He couldn't do any other role. They look at him and go, oh, that's Spock. Instead of name said character.
Right.
Like, technically, he was in Mission Impossible, the TV show. But, like, you look at it and go, ah, Spock's there.
Kevin Hart plays Kevin Hart. Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Rock plays The Rock.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a controversial opinion.
What's that?
But I like The Rock, but if he's in a project, I know the movie's not going to be good.
No, that's not controversial at all.
Like, he's exclusively in not good movies. And I just know the quality of the movie.
That's accurate. Although Jumanji was a little fun. The new remake was a little fun. Because I had a fun time. But other than that,
the batting average is pretty strong. And like, maybe I could be wrong.
I'm with you on that.
Occasionally, but
most of that, he's playing the Rock. He's just going to be superhero slash badass slash do the thing.
The smolder, like
like from our merch video. So that's on the can you. That's the less meaty subject of this. Can you? It's tough if you kind of know something about the artist itself. I think it's easier when reading a book, you can kind of forget the author. Some, if you've never heard of the author, like you're just picking up literally a name label you haven't heard before, versus if I'm reading Sanderson, maybe, or a Pratchett in his prose, I'm kind of thinking like, oh, maybe it comes up that it's a Sanderson book or Pratchett novel. But on to the meaty thing, the should you separate the art versus the artist? Where do you want to start?
Now, this is, I think I've changed a little bit over our previous video on it.
Okay.
I don't think I would make a hard stance today of that you should, ultimately, like a broad statement of should you. And it's more of that is taking an individual basis. I think it's often it's something you can't control. Would it be? There's a broader context of societally, of like, especially going into classes, if you're teaching something, it depends on who you are specifically. If you are a student of the arts, you almost do have an obligation to separate the art from the artist, because you need to look at history to develop your own art. You need to look to the art of the past, and it's essential for you to learn. If you're a casual enjoyer, who cares if you don't like, if really you're looking to read a book and the fact that the author did some terrible stuff, you can't separate that in your head when you're reading the book. Who cares? Then just don't read the book. It's fine. It's not a big deal. The only degree is like, if that's a consistent pattern of now you're limiting yourself of reading a ton of stuff because you kept, if you keep letting your emotions of the artist get in the way of you consuming something that maybe you enjoy, then maybe it's an obstacle for you personally. But again, that's a more individual's take rather than societal. Like, should we cancel an artist from a class and not present that artist in a class setting because they did terrible things? No, you should separate it for an academic purpose.
So you'd say a lot of this seems like it's an opportunity cost for, do you get hurt more than the artist does if you're keeping yourself away from this art? Because you're saying the academic purpose of it, hey, you're actually hurting your own development and you becoming a better art student or novelist or author, whatever. So is that part of it?
Yeah. It's more in an academic sense, definitely. In a personal sense, it's like, it's up to you. You can tell that sometimes it can maybe just be a personal issue. But that's not necessarily a super important thing to get over.
Yeah, the answer I always hate. I hate this answer whenever someone asks a question, someone asks me something, or if I've asked someone a question, this is the worst. When someone goes, it depends. You know, it depends, and then da-da-da-da-da, but it does depend.
It does depend.
It does depend, but hopefully we can make it as specific as possible here, because you touched on a lot. I want to start with, I kind of have bullet points of different questions to ask yourself when going to read something.
I think the key word that I would change is, should you separate the art from the artist? That one is, it depends. Ultimately, depends on your use case of what you're trying to achieve. Are you trying to enjoy things? To some degree, it helps. If you can separate the art from the artist, you'll enjoy more things. But I wouldn't even say should. But should you try? Like, trying to... Should you try? Probably yes. You should try to do it. I'm not saying it as a huge declarative statement of you should separate the art from the artist. It's that you should try to. Mostly. If you can't, then it's okay.
I generally agree with everything you're saying, because let's break this down, because on each point you talked about, first thing here is the historical part to it. When you're saying, hey, if you're an academic, looking at the art itself, for how valuable is that art outside of yourself? How valuable is it? How well loved is it or appreciated in a time period? Is it actually quote unquote a masterpiece. We can get into objectivity versus subjectivity, whatever.
That's a later video.
Well,
that's
we did that previously.
We did that video. We're going to do it again.
Point being.
Next year.
Every year we just redo our videos. point being that if the art is Michael Jackson, or if it's Beethoven, and even though Beethoven, what was he, a womanizer? What, he did a bunch of bad things, I'm sure.
All the things, sure. All historical musicians were womanizers, let's be real. Yeah.
Slave owners. Look at any horrendous thing that's happened in the past where
You look at not even really art specifically, but you look at George Washington, the United States of America.
Like, yep.
Do we never celebrate? Do we just not teach him? Do we not put a monument? Do we not at least respect the idea of, like, hey, the father of our nation? Like, yeah, he owned slaves too. So how you weigh those scales of person in the past did terrible, awful thing, but do you look to, hey, we're celebrating them for the good that they did while also recognizing the bad? And so it depends on how much good did they do. What is their masterpiece? What is something for them to praise over? It's kind of like, it's the same deal of to take it down a notch of Martin Luther King statues. When you see Martin Luther King and you make a statue of him, you're going, ah, celebration and recognition of what he did for civil rights. You don't look at that statue and go, ah, that's the guy that cheated on his wife. And you're not putting the statue up of MLK for cheating on his wife. You're doing it for the civil rights thing. Same applies to Washington.
The reason that we don't have Hitler's paintings everywhere is
there's
that
there's not really any good things to celebrate.
So the amount of awful Hitler did compared to his paintings, which are better than I could do.
Yeah.
Is not, but you get what I'm, yeah, we're on the same page.
The scales are not
there.
Equal.
And I mean, plus he didn't do anything revolutionary with paint, especially him not getting into art school. Back to this of, what were you going to say there?
He did make the Autobahn, I think.
What?
The Autobahn.
Did he?
I think so.
I don't know if that's true.
I'm going to say, like, that's probably it. That's the one positive. I don't think that's enough for a statue.
I wasn't going into a monologue here trying to get you to list positives about him. But, you know,
that's fine.
That's not what I was expecting.
It's not it's kind of the same thing of, like, hey, Hitler drank water.
He liked dogs. Right. Yeah. So the point of he's used a lot is when you're using analogies, because it's such an easy evil to go to of, like, hey, here's your post. And
I know we just used it, but it is annoying to do. Hitler is kind of worn out, his colloquial usage. Gotta throw in some other names here. Mussolini, the next Mao. Like, come on.
Yeah, us Italians,
Pinochet. Like, let's get some Pinochet.
Us Italians here. Like the fact that Mussolini's not mentioned. So we forget about him. Forget about him.
Forget about him.
It never happened. What do you mean? We were an imposter for the whole time.
To be fair, that is an interesting thing. Mussolini being evil, but ultimately, because it's Italy, severely less effective. And all, like, on the global stage.
Well, first off,
evil, but not as much reach.
People forgave Italy because we gave food. Okay? That's what we did first. Also, Japan and Germany
also,
did a lot
Italy
worse.
Stole pasta from China. Let's be honest here.
Okay. We're not getting into this again.
The Chinese are the real originators and the real masters of pasta.
You know what? There's certain kind of arguments and there's certain things that would get me angry. I just know how wrong it is. I'm not even bothered, you know? I'm just letting it fly over me.
Yeah.
So on how valuable a piece of art is, why that's an important question, is if this thing... here's the thing. If somebody is going, oh, this person did a bad thing, I'm going to, in protest, not listen to their stuff, not watch them, it's not really that much of a brave thing to do when it's The Rock. Or it's like, oh, you know what? I'm never going to watch another Rock film. You're not missing out. So when there's somebody that...
It's my thing with John Cena.
You do have a thing with John Cena.
I know it's irrational. I know it's not a... I actively make the choice of holding a strong belief against John Cena. It's not principled. It's an active choice. Of when I saw him apologize in Mandarin for saying that Taiwan is a country, I wrote him off. I was like, ah, I don't want to see you in an American flag anywhere, ever. No, I'm not going to watch any of his things. If he's in a movie, not watching it.
But were you watching his things beforehand?
No, that's why it's an easy thing to do.
So
I'm not losing anything.
You're really just kind of saying it, and it doesn't change your life.
It's an easy, strong opinion to have, and I like those sometimes.
Yeah, an
it's
easy, kinda like when fortified opinion.
It's good to sometimes make an active choice of belief, even though like it's not, it costs me nothing. It's kind of like where I make the
active... But you feel better.
Exactly.
It costs nothing, and you gain ego.
I choose to believe in the reality that Benjamin Franklin was a time traveler. This makes my life better, to believe in that reality. We can break that down at some other point, but you know what? I choose to live in that reality. That world is better for me than saying that actually Benjamin Franklin was just a pretty cool historical figure that was fairly progressive for his time and in a surprising manner.
It's way cooler to just go, he traveled through time.
He traveled through time. He's a middle school science teacher that traveled through time.
The magic school bus of Ben Franklin.
Well, no, he's not... In today's time, he's not a genius, but back then, it's like pretty damn impressive.
Wow, right. Yeah. Right. So on that point then of, is it actually a difficult thing to do? So when you're saying, hey, I'm not going to support, I'm not going to listen, I'm not going to do it anymore, it's actually a more interesting question when it's something that's a masterpiece. And to your point earlier, I completely agree with, hey, if you are trying to become an author and that there's something Tolkien did to you and you're trying to become a fantasy author, something Tolkien did that you want are just outraged, whatever Tolkien did.
If you're trying
and you're
to
not
be a
willing
fan-
to
if you're trying to be a fantasy author and you just go like, I don't like Catholics and so I refuse to read Tolkien, it's like, eh, you're hurting yourself. You should know.
Yeah, where else do you think that's a good analogy or comparison outside of our space?
Outside of our space? I mean, honestly, Neil Gaiman is a great talk about the specifics of of going into this, I've always wanted to read Neil Gaiman's books because I've, again, his relationship with Terry Pratchett, and I love Terry Pratchett, their collaboration with Good Omens. I have been wanting to read that for quite a while. Everyone says and how respected his novels are, the awards. To me, it's an important thing to read, that his books have something that I can really gain out of it. And I would be hurting myself not reading it.
Yeah, that gets to the exact point too of what's your goal with this. So the academic, the somebody that is trying to become a fantasy author, an epic fantasy author, won't read Tolkien, that's a detriment to you. And also Tolkien's not alive for you to support. So there's a whole other question of being alive. So and I'm using Tolkien, there's nothing really controversial about Tolkien. I'm just using that as a random example. Whereas the more practical one is, hey, J.K. Rowling, who people could disagree or agree with her opinions online, and then if you're trying to become a YA author at first, or you just want to write something for kids that turns into more YA to adult, and you're doing something about magic and about a kid. So she created something that is fundamental in that space.
Oh, no,
where
she has
the
staple. If you want to know anything about that genre, you have to know Harry Potter.
You could visit Hogwarts right now. That's how impactful it is. You could go to Hogwarts.
It's arguably one of the most impactful works of fiction in early history. Like, it's
for fantasy, it probably goes in the three goats of fantasy for series. The most impactful are like Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, and Harry Potter.
Here's the thing: for the genre, Lord of the Rings has more impact on the genre itself. But what had more cultural influence and impact? Harry Potter. Way more than Lord of the Rings.
Argued, yeah.
Like, no, it was people lined up like from blocks. It was the cultural phenomenon.
You had a book blockbuster. You don't see book blockbusters
no,
nowadays.
No, you never see that. It is a level of cultural significance that is almost mandatory if you're writing in that space.
Whereas in your goal, so if you're trying to go into the space, you're an academic. Should you separate the art from the artist? Yes, you should. It is you ought to, for your own benefit, do so. Now, the more casual reader, casual viewer, casual enjoyer, someone that goes, hey, Chinatown, which is a masterfully written script and film, it's written by and directed by Roman Polanski, who quite literally...
Neil Gaiman, gross. Roman Polanski, criminal gross.
Do you want to like put actual, in context like, what he
it's
did?
It's confirmed. It's bad. Oh, he raped some ladies. Like this. He also groomed an underage girl. Yeah, no.
Awful stuff.
Underage grooming and rape and just. Gross. Terrible. But.
And again, for the casual viewer who's like, I kind of watch a couple movies a year, you could just avoid it. Now, for a film student,
yeah,
we watched the film. It is like the script. It's a masterpiece.
It's
kind of coming to terms with now. Rich and I. So my goal in life is to become an author and write stories. So everything surrounding stories, films, books. I will try to take everything I possibly can because that's my goal in life. Now, let's say it's something with music. I'm not, like, I kind of listen to music. And if there's somebody that's so awful and it's not a masterpiece, it's kind of just decent music, I'll just never have to encounter it because I'm not trying to become a musician and I just never have to be there for it. So for you, when it comes to, like, what are your genres? What are your things? Are stories one of them where, hey, you're reading Neil Gaiman because, hey, that stories are actually very important to you. And no matter what people do, I shouldn't say no matter what, we'll get into the specifics of if there's anything that would be too far off the line. But is that something for you that's too important for you to not separate the art from the artist?
That's part of it. I would say the more personal influence for me, I think it's healthier to separate the art from the artist. I think it's beneficial to my mental health to being that emotionally charged and tied to that type of thing to stop me from enjoying stuff is not healthy. It's not fun. And so I try and just separate for my own mental health. I understand personally that me not reading something is not doing anything for a person.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it's not hurting the author. It's my choice to read it or not is not going to hurt or help society. It ultimately has no value for
or help the author as well. You think?
Oh, whoopsie doodle! Me buying a book sends them $3 in.
Do you have the same opinion?
I don't. It's such a small impact.
Do you have the same opinion on voting?
Kind of. Yes. To some degree of, it's specifically talking about the emotional connection to it. I don't get too emotionally charged about politics for the specific reason of my vote doesn't matter that much. Like, ultimately, why am I yelling at my cousin at Thanksgiving when it doesn't matter? What am I going to do?
You do the old trick. You and the cousin you disagree with at Thanksgiving. You do, hey, since we're going to cancel each other out anyways, let's just not vote. Shake on it and then go vote anyways.
No, there we go.
That's the trick.
Prisoner's dilemma.
That's +2 for your side. No.
Prisoner's dilemma there. No, but also it's just not worth it. Like,
yeah.
If you're going to be emotionally charged about something, it should be something with real value and weight. Like, oh, there's a reason behind it, that there are consequences. There should be consequences for your emotional energy. If there's no consequences to it, why are you emotionally burdening yourself with it? It's better to just let that shit go.
The stoic thought behind it of control generally what you can. Where would you say to the opinion that, okay, you are a casual viewer, whether it's a masterpiece or not, that the money that you're doing supporting these artists is almost like it's almost like you're co-signing in a way or agreeing with that, or it's not bad enough to where you're willing to protest it, because there are things you'd be willing to protest. There are things as important as it is. So if you read something by someone that has, what is your, again, going back to this, what is your line? Because I think here's where I do definitely agree with you. Because when we're talking about the line, if somebody has an opinion that disagrees with me or that I don't like, and it's simply an opinion that they've said in the past or they've said currently at any point in time, I don't think I have anything that I wouldn't touch because of their opinion. I think this is a conversation people need to have with themselves. Like, for me, I know my bar, if they've said anything really, caveat, unless that opinion's directly related to the art they produce. So for example, if the person's opinion is, okay, let's say they're a political commentator and they say an opinion that, politics is a bad example because I don't care. Okay. So I should use an example like, okay, if they're, it's the best example. Okay. Let's say they're a sports analyst and they're a sports analyst that's constantly saying like they have the worst takes and they say something, they've done something bad in the sense like they're making fun of the players while they're commentating on them. Okay. I won't listen because even though you're a good speaker and everything, the things I hate about you are directly related to the art, if that makes sense.
Sure.
So with that caveat, if you have an opinion that, of course, your biases and your worldview seeps through from you to the book, you to the movie. However, I do agree with the death to the author concept where the book itself is almost, it's a separate entity from the author that wrote it. Once that book is published, once that film is made, it is no longer just theirs. It is the communities. It's you can get your own benefit out of it that the author didn't even know they were writing in the first place.
Completely true. There's so many stories out there of where I think I get a different message. I get different themes that I believe that the creator really intended. And that's fun for me. The reason why the things that I will protest, not watch or consume, like the John Cena thing, it's a stupid thing. That I acknowledge that it's not like a deep principle. It's just, it's inconsequential because I know John Cena stuff is not like great. I don't need to watch it. So it's not a big deal. it's more of a funny stance to take rather than an actual principled one.
Right.
But outside of that, I have not come across anything where I won't consume the stuff even because of their opinions and to some degree actions. Like, even then.
Well, let's stick on a pit because as this layer is happening, so people that are listening in, think to yourself, what is your line? So what would actually anger you or make you go, okay, again, considering what we said before, is it a masterpiece? Are you a casual viewer? Are you in the space? That's one conversation to have. Another conversation to have is, who's it harming more? Do you believe, does your vote count? Does your $3 to this person matter? Like, how important is that? And how important is the principle?
How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself part of the collective and community of like, hey, look, because I understand the idea of, yeah, your vote doesn't matter, but you contribute to the whole. And if everyone thought your way, then there is no change and there is no action. I understand. But we don't live in that world. It's an individualistic world.
More than the $3, I think the more important thing is your principle. Because your principle and your character and who you are, what you think you're doing with that. So stick to your convictions and principles is important. So even if you don't think your vote matters, maybe if you have that opinion, still, is it your principle to contribute to the community? Is it your principle to, et cetera? So principle for opinions and just keeping it that layer. For example, J.K. Rowling, bunch of opinions online and her Harry Potter books. So my opinion with Harry Potter books, if people that loved her books beforehand and then she says things people disagree with, does that change their love of Harry Potter? No, I think the Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling can be two separate people. Now, hey, some people can read Harry Potter and go, hey, I agree with what J.K. Rowling said. Now I love Harry Potter more. However you take it, whether people love Harry Potter more or less from J.K. Rowling's thoughts, what you should do is separate J.K. Rowling's thoughts. Again, this is in the context of, hey, we're booktubers of reading these books. You ought to separate Neil Gaiman from this, from American Gods, and J.K. Rowling from Harry Potter, and try to enjoy it regardless of your positive or negative opinion of the author, depending on what your goal is, and be clear what your goal is. Are you just a casual viewer, et cetera? Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? Do you have an opinion on authors, movie, filmers' opinions. And what would you say on that stance?
On the should you, I'm completely agreeing with you. It's on a personal stance. I do have a significant degree of personal separation from it.
Gotcha.
It doesn't. I do actually separate it almost completely. I can't think of an actual true example of which I will refuse to read something, even the most heinous of people. I'll still consume it if there's a good enough reason of like, oh, I will get value out of this. Like I'm reading or I'm watching for a certain reason, whether it's entertainment or knowledge, like, especially opinions that I disagree with. Yeah, I kind of want to read what the guy to say because I want to understand. Even if I don't agree with it, it's good to understand it. It's kind of how you associate with people. Like I remember talking online with I think I brought this example up long time ago before, but when I was doing online games more in like high school, there was a guy that came into our what was the old thing before Discord?
TeamSpeak.
Yeah. Came into like,
I know that because that's where I talked to my Minecraft bros out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Use TeamSpeak.
There was this guy, and I remember his username or something was like Giraffe. And Giraffe was outright like neo-Nazi. Not like hyperbolic or like, oh, he would classify himself as a neo-Nazi. So I wouldn't consider him a friend at all, but I was infinitely fascinated with his opinions and how he thought, because I was willing to talk to him and not yell and scream at him, because one, it's cross in some other country, who cares? Like, I'm not gonna affect it. I never like agreed with him or placated it. I would directly challenge him, but I wasn't yelling at him. But I was just ultimately curious on how he thought, because ultimately it's a much better way to hopefully convert him to a not, extremist belief of taking the Socratic method of, well, why do you believe that? What evidence do you have? Like, okay, if that's the case, why this? And just keep trying to poke holes in it. But ultimately, personally, I was just fascinated. And so that's why I would still talk to him. I didn't shut him off completely.
There's definitely value in the bad.
We still mocked him mercilessly. Oh, we were not nice to him. We just didn't shun him completely.
There's definitely value in the bad opinion or bad example or even bad character, because you can have these success stories you hear with people who had bad parents. Sometimes mm-hmm. that bad parent example is you would rather have a great parent, but kids who grew up with bad parents and turned out to be super successful and not repeat their mistakes because they learned what not to do, they took the right lesson from it, mm-hmm. versus a parent that is a great example, you looked up to and you follow their example. It's just up to the person themselves whether they go against the wrong opinion or the wrong thing, or they double down into the good thing.
Yeah, I personally, I don't think you can have a very strong principled opinion on anything unless you understand the opposite argument. So the best way to bolster your own opinion is if you deeply understand the other opinion. So I am not a Nazi.
He's a neo-Nazi. Just clarification. Put the neo there.
That's important. No. But I'm not a Nazi. Not a neo-Nazi. However, I want to be able to properly articulate why I'm not. And the best way to do that is understand what neo-Nazis and Nazis think.
Now, something that's valuable to you is, hey, you enjoy speaking about morality and you enjoy philosophy. And something that's valuable to you, Rich, is, hey, I find it fascinating, different schools of thought. So for you, it's like, I kind of want to know what people are thinking. Mm-hmm. For someone else out there, they can do less research on a Nazi, or they could do less research on maybe nihilism or stoicism. They could go through kind of, but they don't have much interest in it. They're not trying to become an expert, or it's not one of their hobbies.
Sure.
And way less so do they have to go and have like a quote unquote not friend. Like, they don't have to have somebody that they would bounce stuff off of all the time if that's not there. So yeah. Keeping in mind that
was just an interesting opportunity. No, you don't run into Nazis very often, and that was just more of like, how many chances am I going to get to actually
I get you.
talk to a Nazi. That doesn't happen every other Wednesday.
We kept saying, like, the cliche thing to do is bring up Hitler.
I know, but what it's the doing? Best example. Like, I'm trying to think of the extreme opinions of, in all honesty, it comes back to really any opinion. But that's just the best extreme example of what happened.
Those opinions are important to you. And a lot of this is looking at how, and I say this with grace. I mean, this is the good thing. How selfish, how self-interested are we in our own pursuits and interests? Do they trump the minuscule thing it would do for the creator?
Sure.
And some of that tone, it's really just making an opportunity cost with who is harmed more, me or them? Or is it me? Because, hey, is it the principle? Am I making this a worse society? How much do you extend your vote, your dollar to the common man? And how important is that to you? Again, being in our field of books. So for all book things, for you and I, Rich, I think our general stance is, spoiler alert, we're reading American Gods. And yeah. we're going to have a review on this channel about it.
Started reading it, and yeah, it's a really good book.
The prose is fantastic.
Is fantastic.
And the thing is, when I'm reading the book...
Obvious. Surprised.
When you're reading the book, you are separating the art from the artist, I imagine.
Yeah. No, I can say there are two things can be true. American Gods can be a fantastic novel, and Neil Gaiman can be a very gross, allegedly, possibly criminal individual. Both things can be true.
And there are different levels of what you are... what the separation is. Is it an opinion that you disagree with them? Did they do an unethical thing like, hey, cheat on their spouse? Did they do an immoral and unethical and illegal thing like commit sexual assault / genocide? So there's kind of layers to how evil their saying or action is.
Now, I will say all of this to say is,
yeah,
I think after the author's dead, like there's almost no reason not to consume the media after they're already gone, because then you're not contributing. Like the main moral reason of not to consume someone's work is I don't want to support them because they're alive. I'd be giving them money, and I disagree. I think they are an awful person. I don't want to financially support them after they're dead. At that point, go. Like, what's to stop you?
Yeah. Would you say to the argument, like, hey, you're building their reputation, or you're putting their name out there, their names, their legacy, and that's important too? What would you say to someone that says that?
I mean, it's not an invalid opinion to have, but I would say it's less so.
Gotcha. You just care less about that because
now it's not their name, it's their work. If their work is worthy of being passed down through history, it should be. No matter what they personally have done, it should be taken on. So, because that's history for us. We shouldn't forget. We should be very cautious of trying to stop history from going forward. Like, we need to pass things on. Like, there are going to be people that look at, in the future, people look back today and go like, oh, look how awful these people were. They were... they held
did you take terrible opinions.
You have to, like, we should show grace to the people who came before us, because we are going to hope that the people in the future give us the same grace.
That was my next bullet point. You are on top of it, Rich.
I don't need notes.
that exact topic of people in the past, we look at slavery and can very clearly go, it was immoral. It was wrong. It's so easy for us to do that.
And it's much easier today to have that opinion
than in the day
when it was globally slavery was a staple for nearly all of human history. Are you saying that you alive to were just dropped in that time that, oh yeah, you would have been the one person, one of the very few people against slavery? Probably not. You probably wouldn't have. You would have gone along with the crowd like everyone else does.
You would have been listening to the back in the day version of podcasts. Speakeasies or something down there, just some drunk guy on the street going like, that's how podcasts started, I'm convinced.
Listening to a drunk guy's conversation a table over.
Yeah.
The first podcast.
The example to use is today I've thought about I'm a meat eater.
Mm-hmm.
What if one day 50 years from now, 100 years from now, it's looked back on how it is animal cruelty and it is awful and disgusting that people ate meat. Like, the vegans have a moral argument that we can go back and forth. I disagree, but I get the point. And maybe it goes even a layer down. We're complicit because is this animal cruelty happening because of these factory farms? And it, people can look back at today and McDonald's and all of the stuff we're consuming and go, look at how awful those people were. How could I read something, listening to something, to someone that ate meat? Like, I'm using that example because it's something that's very acceptable today. Mm-hmm. We both do it. Most people listening do. And I know that this is more, this probably won't happen in the future, but it's a, maybe a good
way of I will make it my life goal to make sure that never happens in the future.
That is now your life goal. Yeah.
I fight veganism with a, you know, iron fist.
Oh, you could have done like a pun there. You could have used some animal pun. With the stakes are high.
The stakes are high. The horns are out. You get hoofed and trampled upon.
Chicken isn't coming before the egg.
You're not as good with them. No. I was taking all the good ones.
Yeah, you were. So, again, looking back at, we should treat history and treat the past as, try to remove as much as possible as well, because we shouldn't have such an ego of our own endowments and how highly we think of our own opinions that, of course, we're the most moral person ever. And if there's anything, you can look at anybody in history, any opinion, you're bound to find something you either disagree or something that they did was wrong. And vices. We have our own vices. There's people, like, we've definitely done things that people would be like, oh, I disagree with that. Like, how much would they disagree with us or hate us to not want to listen as well? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that, like, hey, if you're listening out there to my good old friend Bobby back in elementary school, it was me that stole your sandwich. I don't know. Just that we're not perfect people. We've also said stuff on the pod that I'm sure people could disagree with and be like, now should that prevent, again, if it affects your art, if it affects the enjoyment you have listening to this pod, definitely don't listen, because if you from that go like, okay, I don't like the personality, then I just keep thinking about how Austin keeps making fun of that bald head of his, and I just feel so bad. I think he's bullying Rich. You gotta come here for some bowling. You gotta press.
Just gotta get used to it. Where we foster a very safe bullying environment here. We're pro small time bullying here.
Small time bullying. We're very niche.
Very niche. I'm very pro light bullying. Light bullying, it can be good for the soul. You need someone to teach you to knock you down a peg and get some tougher skin.
It's a lot of the reason that Rich and I don't go directly into politics or outside interests. We keep it story focused. We keep it curiosity and story focused because we also understand the separating the art from the artist, and no one wants to hear what we have to say about other stuff. We're here to have fun, escape. We have a direct goal. Go ahead.
We have plenty of opinions on other things, but ultimately, you didn't come here for that. That's not our expertise. My opinion on many things, I think, is only valuable to me. Like, I value all my opinions because they're my opinions, but I would say the only thing that is worth, my opinion is only worth something to someone else of books. I think it's the only thing that is worth sharing, really. Books and stories.
Yeah, and that's what this channel's focused on. So we try our best as well. So, like, hey, we're not going to be clubbing heavy-handed with things, or just, we're very aware that we're here for this, have fun, escape. Let's not get to, again, with these topics and these deep topics we get into, even when having this, is we're stating our opinions on separate artists and artists. This is what we think, this is what we think's good. I could see in another realm, I dislike when, again, all of our stuff's opinions here, so okay, I dislike when people are in a certain niche, or there's something that you're trying to escape to, and that escapism for you, you get tuned out because they get overtly out of their realm. So if the focus is on technology, or this is a play, and then it brings you from the story, again, the whole reason that I love stories is you get to escape. You get to forget about the real world and do this. So if we're having a conversation about separating the art versus the artist, and then we start talking about the election, or then we start talking about I don't know, Nazis and neo-Nazis.
They could be there.
It's going to be...
yeah, it could be pretty bad.
If we just start... I mean, we ramble here into a lot of things. We just try to keep it fun is the point.
Yeah. Generally speaking, it's all correct.
Generally, yeah. Generally speaking, because what the next point that I had on this, Rich, is these different principles that we're talking mm-hmm. about and how you can... We can look back at today and be like, hey, are we the most moral ones ever? This is a quote from Tar. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The movie Tar, and I think Kate Blanchett said this, but don't be so eager to be offended. The narcissism of small differences can lead to the most boring conformity.
I completely agree with that statement. That's, again, better writer than I ever could be. So,
and I think that goes to show, even though a small difference wouldn't be if someone have sexual allegations, it's a big difference. But take that small differences quotes with, hey, if someone has a different opinion than you, take that to the next step of what if
how
it's a
far
small,
removed from history are
how
you?
Far, yeah, is your small difference? So emphasis on small, but the other emphasis being don't try your best when it's in your field, when it's something that you're vastly interested in. Try your best to separate it. And stick to your principles. Just figure out what those principles are. Have a conversation with yourself. Because we kind of know what our principles are. Maybe those will change as well.
Sure. A lot of that depends on... It is almost always a scale. It's a scale balance of good that you get versus the harm that it does. And there are some things where I will greatly disagree with... like supporting a certain person, and it's not a huge cost for me to not support them. Pretty easy decision. It's another thing of, we do a BookTube channel. I need to be knowledgeable about books. That's kind of my importance is I need to know. It's important to me. So my scales are going to be very heavily tilted there. Now, if an author, you know, murdered my entire family, maybe I wouldn't read their book. That's a strong possibility. Probably wouldn't do it, but...
No joke, that was my next example.
Ha-ha! I took your notes again!
My example was this. I said, how personal is it? Like, did they literally say, Rich is scum, I'm killing his family? It's like, that's my example of,
yeah.
If it's so personal, then can you separate it as much?
Now, if it is if it's just opinions, I think I would probably read it out of spite. If someone told me, like, yeah, I hate Richard, he's a terrible person, awful, and hey, I wrote a book of it, I think I'm going to read his book. It's going
to
be great.
And then tear it to shreds.
Yeah, exactly. But if they did stuff, terrible things to me, it'd be really hard to, again, it can be very hard to separate the art from the artist when you are actively reading something. Like, if I'm reading a book and I'm remembering the moments, like, that they did a terrible thing to me personally, it's pretty easy to understand. You can't separate that.
Like, do you think that Drake can't listen to Kendrick Lamar's diss, like, not, they're not like us? And he can't just, like, not bop his head going, okay, he got me good, you know? even though it's directed at him, it's still great art.
Yeah, but also Drake, creepy guy. Also, that's another thing of, I don't like Drake's music, but then all the stuff about Drake, it's pretty damn easy to just not listen to his stuff anymore. I wasn't going to do it in the first place, and now I have more reasons.
You have no
to
stakes
not,
in it, though.
I have no stakes in it, but it's easier because I wasn't doing it before, and now I have even more reason to continue not listening to his music.
And that's the thing, too, of who's involved in the art itself. Because when you're saying, hey, I'm not reading a book by somebody, when it comes to the book, it's their book. It's almost always a singular endeavor. Of course, there's editors and there's a publishing company. There's a lot that goes into it. There's an audiobook narrator. So it's not just that person. But when you're talking about an artist, or let's more specifically talk about a director of a film. So Roman sure. Polanski is a director, but there are so many actors, actresses, producers, filmmakers. It's not just Roman Polanski's thing, which is why I like to make distinguish that the death of the author, where, hey, when that art is created, of course, you wrote this book, you made this film. There were so many other people a part of the creation that how can you just target that person? Even if it's just a Drake song. John Cena, sure, he's a part of the movie, Rich, but what if then you have David Tennant also in the movie with John Cena? You might watch that film because you love your David Tennant. Or let's say David Tennant and the redhead that you love. What's her name?
Karen McGillan.
Let's say Karen McGillan's in it.
To be fair, I went to Jumanji specifically because Karen McGillan's in the movie.
Now, let's say Karen McGillan and John Cena are in a relationship in the film. Maybe you won't watch it because you'll be upset.
Oh, my love for Karen McGillan trumps my hatred for John Cena.
Totally understandable.
those scales are not even close to be equal.
I think that's important, too, where are you just targeting that person? Are you just saying, okay, I'm not really Neil Gaiman, or is it also the people that put work into Neil Gaiman stuff or J.K. Rowling stuff? So that, of course, it's of course part of that supporting them, but there's other people also involved in the creation, which is why I like to completely separate when something is created and made. That author is one taking other ideas and experiences and books and combining that into their creation. It's a new thing. It's a new IP, but they wouldn't be there without the backbone of those before them.
Sure.
And after they create that thing, it is now both, it is now ours. We can, the book is now done and we consume it and get what we get out of it. So that's why I really have that opinion of you should try to separate as much as possible, except when it just doesn't really affect you or matter to you all that much. I think that's what our opinion comes down to.
Yeah, you're ultimately right. It's kind of easy in some cases of different types of media. Of there'll be some movie coming out and I really don't like the director or the actors involved, and ultimately the movie is just some entertainment slop.
Don't need to watch it.
Okay, I don't need to watch it.
Yeah.
Versus, and that's very tame compared to someone like Roman Polanski, who's an actual evil piece of shit. Yeah, I'll still watch his movie because.
And also, Jack Nicholson does a great job. And also, you could go through the list of things that were separate from him. So Harvey Weinstein, because he produced a film, you know how many films you can't watch if you have this outrage for Harvey? He was involved in so many films.
The reason to be careful with constantly putting emotional weight and emotional outrage into art and the artist that's connected to it is it's just. It's hard and tiresome to deal with that, of not being able to watch really any movie that had any kind of connection to Weinstein, or just going down the list of books like, I disagree with that person, now that person was a beast. That's so much work and ultimately not fun. That's not a very fun life to live. That's honestly the biggest reason why you should try to separate the art from the artist, and you should try to actually enjoy things.
Always err on the side of what is awesome. It's one of Sanderson's magic laws. I'm taking that out of context completely. I have no idea what his thoughts are on separating the art from the artist.
That is a hard degree of like ripping the context
apart. it's one of the quotes I know, so I just said it. So that's our thoughts, and I hope we tackled a lot of that.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, it's a lukewarm stance of what I think we're just talking about. What people spread. Probably due to lead a more enjoyable life, and like it's just less headache to do so. But if you can't, then it's fine for you too.
That's been a Tudor Ramble episode. We'll see you next week.
Bye bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.